Okay, sisters, maybe we can start. We will finish by 12:15 as planned. I'm constantly looking to the Lord because I'm not going by the outline. I hope this morning's fellowship was helpful. I made a mistake this morning. I misspoke, and that is the matter of the four generation passing on of a teaching by Paul to Timothy and then to faithful men and to others. Actually, it's in 2 Timothy. That is not in 1 Timothy. I misspoke. So in this four generation passing on of the faith, of the divine faith, and the so-called passing on of the knowledge, if you will, of the Holy Scriptures. mainly speaking about Timothy's grandmother and mother, who are both in 2 Timothy. One is in, I think, chapter 2, the other is in chapter 5. In any event, in both cases, it is a transmission from one generation to another. I would say in a very intentional way, not in a haphazard, if it happens, it happens. No, in a most intentional way. That means you have to do this. If we don't do this, we will be short of a next generation. When I talk about next generation, I hope, yes, it's a very broad description, the next generation, but I hope that you would have in your heart not just a next generation that is, you know, they're still sort of in the church life, they are, you know, they are okay human beings, they, you know, they're not bad people or something like that. Of course, we know that as much as we do things or labor to cooperate with the Lord in caring for people, including our own, there's no guarantee. You can work as hard as you can with the best methods and the, you know, but there's just no guarantee. We know from experience that person, because of your pouring out of yourself, will turn out the way that you hope that this person will turn out. In other words, really, at the end of the day, it is the mercy of God. All of us who are sitting here are not because somehow we're better, or we ran well, or we made some good decisions, so we're sitting here. No. All of us are here this morning because the Lord had mercy on us. Not of him who runs, nor of him who wills, but God who shows mercy. So the same with the ones that we care for. But that said, we should labor more abundantly. We shouldn't just make that turn that into an excuse. Well, if it's God's mercy, it's not up to me, then what's my role in all of this? Well, you have a huge role. That is to do your very best in the Lord and according to your learning and in the context of the church life, right? We have this community here. And how they will turn out, we still have to commit them to the Lord and leave it in the Lord's hands. Timothy, he became such a useful vessel. Of course, it's God's mercy. But if he had never received that kind of a faith transmission, he had never acquired that kind of a learning of the Holy Scriptures, God can't have mercy on him, but he wouldn't be that useful. Would you not agree? He wouldn't be that useful in the Lord's hands. So the human side, our side, I should say, in the preparation of these young ones to become vessels useful in the Master's hands is just absolutely necessary. Don't leave it to fate. Don't leave it to chance. Don't leave it to anything. You intentionally pick up the burden for them and do the very best. I think, again, I won't have time to cover the young people's work. It's a standalone subject and requires a lot of fellowship. But I am just here to fan the flame, huh? If you will. I'm here to ignite or add fuel to this burden of the sisters here, particularly in Irvine, all of you. And I say that, I mean all ages. We need many more young sisters. You know, these sisters' meetings like this, I actually wouldn't mind if some of the teenage sisters would join. I mean, I know many of them are busy serving us, but you know what I'm saying. I don't mind that. I don't mean the real young, you know, ones. I'm talking about those who are, you know, in high school or later years in high school. You know, I don't know about you. I started to love the Lord and be interested in spiritual things at that age, not before college, well before college, in my high school years, more specifically in the second half of my high school years. My theory, I have a theory, and that is for a person to be called by the Lord to really dedicate, or we use the word consecrate, their whole lives to the Lord, for the Lord. In other words, a person's adopting or taking the Lord as his goal or her goal, and seeing something, maybe not completely, but something of God's eternal purpose and so on, can occur and in a normal way in those high school years. And that means a young person can be fully gained by the Lord in the high school years. In history, there are various servants of the Lord, you know, people used by the Lord, who may have been gained even in younger years. But I'm speaking more in general terms. So those high school years and latter high school years, and then all the way to college years, and I would even say early college years, those 4 or 5 years, something like this, are the most critical years for a young person to be visited by the Lord, to have a personal encounter with the Lord, and to even receive the Lord's calling to follow him. Now, this does not mean this person is so knowledgeable, they know of the Bible, all that. It does not mean that, because in my case, I surely didn't know even God's economy. for the Lord's recovery. But I knew enough, the truth, and I'm just drawn by the Word, you know, the Scriptures, and also the ministry publications. There were much less in those days. The Lord's hand was working in my environment, as young as I was, to deal with me and prepare me to, you know, be open to Him, to receive His calling. So while the actual calling came in my senior year, the readiness, the preparation for my calling actually took place before that, in my junior year. And I was just, up to that point, I was saved. I was actually saved and baptized in age 11, not 12, but 11. And in those days, I came from the church in Hong Kong. Everyone who is baptized need to be interviewed. You just don't say, I'm ready to be baptized, and put me in a bathtub. No. On a certain day, the church has a day of baptism, and everyone, old and young, who are led to be baptized have to be interviewed. And I still remember who interviewed me. It was this brother, the brother Wei. Some of you may know that name. He is one of the leading elders there in Hong Kong. I mean, I was young. I was 11 years old, and he was, I don't know how old he was. But anyway, and I was there in this, they put up these partitions, like a little nurse station, you know, you just go there. It was scary. So I had to sit there like waiting for my shot, you know. And he would be there with another brother and ask me some questions, you know, 11 years old, you know, something about faith, about my experience of the Lord, something. I don't remember that part. I remember him being the interviewer. And I passed, you know. I remember even now. So right away you go and get changed, and there's my grandmother, who was very instrumental in all of these things, helped, and as did some of the brothers who were taking care of the of that age bracket, were there just to comfort and, you know, to help. And so so that was my salvation. Then in my junior high years, I kind of dropped out. I have lost some friends, and I just basically drop out of the church life. It's not good, but that happened to me as well. But I can for sure tell you that not only my grandmother, but others have prayed very much in those days. I know that for not just me, but for my generation. I mean, they just prayed. They just prayed. And my grandmother did what he could when there's opportunity to kind of, you know, drag me to the meeting or something. And I have a lot of stories of how evasive I was. One time I laid underneath my bed and with the cover of the bed going all the way to the ground, no one knew I was there. And that was my hiding place because my grandmother was visiting us. And I know that when he was looking for me, amongst other things, to, you know, to give it to me. And I have to lay there for the whole time until she leaves. That's this kid, you know, this. And But the Lord knows, and so in those years, well, I was a prodigal, a real prodigal, and did my things in junior high, high school, and I formed my band. I did all this kind of stuff, but the prayer. I like to say something about prayer, sisters. You know, in all these fellowship about young people, children, nothing is more important than prayer. You know, but not just prayer, but the kind of prayer that doesn't give up. That kind of prayer. That kind of prayer. In other words, the Luke, what chapter? The widow? Huh? He's 18. Well, you know the stubborn, you know the desperate widow who would not let the Lord go to ask for that he would this person to avenge, you know, her, and eventually this unrighteous judge, right? This judge is really himself unrighteous because of her bugging, you know, bugging him. Eventually, just to get rid of her, you know, helped her. And the Lord used that to liken himself to an unrighteous judge. The Lord is saying, I'm that unrighteous judge. And if you would pray like this widow, see, even that judge would change his heart to help. How much I will change my heart to help you, to answer your prayer. And I will tell you, looking back, the prayers. So let me even just dwell for a few minutes here. As now we're burdened, generally in the church in Irvine, or at least I'm burdened, to really, really build up a shepherding church life, a all ages, all persons, regardless. This whole church in Irvine would just be characterized by mutual shepherding. Just everyone a shepherd, everyone caring for someone, everyone putting someone on their heart, on his or her heart, and everyone taking the time during the week on a frequent, regular basis. Either by phone contact, would reach out to touch and contact someone. It could be a junior high girl, you know, a junior high sister. It could be a high school young brother. It could be a college age new one, right? It could be even a young adult working saint and unmarried sister, right? Could be even older saints. You know, you think older saints don't need shepherding or cherishing? They need a lot. In a way, they need more because they're turning like into little children, you know, like that. You start out as a child and you die as a child kind of thing. So they need a lot of care. So I know here we talk about the children's work, the young people's work, and then you have the campus work. I like to take away the word work out. That doesn't mean there's no work. It's not my point. My point is that this will be more than a work, like do this work. I like to see this becoming culture. I like to see this becoming habit. I'd like to see this become atmosphere. I'd like to see this becoming just the way we are. So it's not work, you know. You go to young people's work, you do children's work, you do what by assignment. I don't mean we absolutely don't need those things. You know, we need to coordinate for coverage. But the source and the sustenance of this service, it's better to use the word actually service. Service is actually the word ministry. It's the same word in Greek. This ministry, this shepherding, and shepherding is a work, but in our parlance, in brotherly speaking, often he talks about the heavenly ministry of Christ, right? Which is mainly a shepherding one. You know, he's the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, the shepherd of our souls. I gave you my song on shepherding, didn't I, sisters, last time? The song I wrote on shepherding? No? Oh, okay. I test drove it. I think it's an okay car to drive. So I would like to put this on to the church website somewhere, both the lyrics and the music. It's a hymn I wrote one time. Daniela may remember, we were driving back from, during the pandemic, from San Francisco back here. In those days we didn't fly, we drove. And I wrote that hymn just on that 6-hour trip. I think that's what I did. So it is based on all these verses on the, it's called Christ, the Shepherd of Our Souls. And so it's based on all these verses, all the way to the last mentioning of the Lord as our shepherd, which is in Revelation, and he will shepherd us to the springs of the living waters, and he will wipe away all tears from our eyes. I believe chapter 7, Revelation. Of course, even in the end, in the New Jerusalem, something like this is mentioned, that there will be no more tears because we will be shepherded. We will be drinking of the water of life. So God's work from beginning to end, first with his people Israel, then with his New Testament people, the church, you can actually use this one word to cover God's whole work with his people, and that is shepherding. The whole thing in taking Israel out of Egypt into the good land, which was God's plan, God considered himself a shepherd, shepherding his sheep in those 40 years across the wilderness. And you remember Moses actually for 40 years was trained to be a shepherd. I mean, real shepherd, mm-hmm. In the backside of the mountain. 40 years he was trained to shepherd sheep. So that's his profession, you can say. He was a professional shepherd or herder. And it's after that, of course, God used that to deal with Moses. But it was after that training with these sheep that God handed the responsibility of taking 2 million people, let's say, from Egypt to the banks of Jordan. I mean, you think it's easy. I mean, that is a whole bunch of naughty sheep. You know, I use the word stiff neck, you know, in my message, rebellious, unbelieving, God was going to wipe them out in the first week, you know. They're so bad. He said, Moses, I'm going to make your descendants, my people, forget these people, these terrible people. And Moses, you know what Moses did? Moses didn't say, oh, thank you, Lord. I was just waiting for that, right? Moses was on behalf of those stiff-necked people, interceding for them. That means he intervened by his prayer for the stiff-necked people to ask God, don't do this. Moses is quite the attorney. Huh? He's quite the attorney. He said, if you do this, the Egyptians will laugh at you and say, you bring all these people out so that they all die. Whoa. That got, I think, God's attention. That, I didn't think that one through. But the point, my point, is Moses, in leading these, say, 2 million people, you know, women included, to Israel, was a tough, tough job. You know, you think shepherding is shepherding. I tell you, the hardest ministry is shepherding. The hardest labor is shepherding. And so God, I mean, you need so much patience. You need so much endurance. You need to have so much faith. And needless to say, you need so much forgiveness and love to forgive this kind of people for 40 long years. And so even Moses, even himself got mad. You remember? But that extra striking of the rock cost him the entrance into the good land. Because he didn't sanctify Jehovah in the sight of the people. Well, you say, well, God got mad. Well, Moses, you're not God, right? But my point is, Moses was there actually was God's representative shepherd in a man. And that's why Moses is a full type, amongst others, of Christ. And today, you know, that's in the Old Testament, and God shepherded them even when Israel failed, became idolatrous and apostate, and they were judged by God and even were carried away in captivity by the Babylonians and Assyrians and so on. God was still shepherding them. You know, in Psalms, it says shepherding also requires a rod and a staff. The rod and a staff is to, number one, guide. Number two, protect, for sure, against wild beasts or animals. But it is also to, you know, correct and discipline the wayward to bring them back onto the path of righteousness. So, God was shepherding his people throughout in a hidden way. And in the New Testament, needless to say, the church is the flock of God. You know, we usually don't talk about that. We say the church is the body of Christ, the church is the new man, the church is the wife of Christ or the bride, the church is the habitation of God, the church is the kingdom of God. Yes, 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 yes. But when Peter and Paul spoke concerning the elders, both were consistent to just speak to them that you are overseer and shepherds of God's flock. Both of them. And if you do well, faithfully, there will be a crown of life awaiting you. So the elder's job, actually, I would rather not use the word administrate. There is that component. There is that, okay? The elders, they do administrate the church, manage. But the really, the best word in the scriptural term is shepherd. And the scriptural verb is also to shepherd. So the elder's job, responsibility, really, is to shepherd God's flock. Everything must be seen through the lens of a shepherd. You may administrate, you may do this or that, but it's all, the heart must be a heart of a shepherd. So if the leading brothers do not do things or discharge their duties with this view or with that heart, then they're wrong. They're short of God's standard. Well, but this is not just assigned to the elders only. Really, really, just like fruit bearing, shepherding is something that belongs to all of us, meaning that it is our ministry. We all should have a shepherding ministry. Now, I may be able to shepherd 5 people. You can only shepherd 1. That's not that important. What's important is that you are shepherding. Amen. That one. And I, with what the Lord measured to me, maybe I have more time or whatever it is, I shepherd 5. And you know, in the principle of the 5-talent, 2-talent, eventually we will get the same praise from God, right? So it's not, don't compare. That's what I'm trying to say. Don't compare. But everyone shepherd. And how I like to see our high schoolers shepherding. Yeah, I would even use that word. Amen. Don't think, oh, they're too young. They themselves need a lot of shepherding. Well, how about you? Don't you still need a lot of shepherding? You think you're not naughty, right? So they can shepherd. And when they can care for, really, the shepherd is to get out of yourselves and care for another. Could be an unsaved person. It's part of shepherding. Shepherding to salvation. Could be a young saint. It could be a new believer. It could be just a saint in need, a needy saint, or a weak saint. And in many instances, like me, prodigal saints. Prodigal saints. You know, talk about shepherding, the good parable that the Lord used, both in Matthew and in Luke, is about the 99, you know, the 100 sheep, 199, to lay, put aside the 99 and go after the one lost sheep. And the Lord said something about that, meaning that it's more important to get that one sheep. The others are okay. You know, they're okay. But that one sheep that is lost, that's what the Lord wants to recover and restore. And that's why the prodigal son, he had already another son, already the good boy, you know, the good boy, never left, did everything right, you know. But he never killed a calf, he never put a ring, he never put the best clothes on that good son, because he's okay. But this one was lost, but now he's found. This one who is dead is now alive. Let's celebrate, let's kill the calves and have a party, because he was gone and now he's back. Saints, even many saints who are not in the church life now, or they are at the periphery, you know what I mean? Some barely hanging on. Dear saints, it's up to us to find them and reach out to them and shepherd them. And you need a lot of patience to do that. You just need a lot of love. You just need a lot of hope. You need a lot of faith, you know, faith, hope, and love. You need a lot, great amounts of that to really to bring back, so to speak, or to recover a brother or a sister in this kind of shepherding way. I know I'm not getting into the young people's at work. It's okay. Now, this is our burden. Now, sisters, I want to let you know, this is our burden. That the church in Irvine, my burden, all the churches, Brother Lee's burden, all the churches, of course. But here we are in Irvine. I feel this church is, you hear me all the time whenever I come on some special Lord's Day to speak. I just get carried away on, I forgot my points, you know, just, this church means so much to me. And, but just because we are so blessed here in Irvine, I will tell you, we are blessed here in this church. To whom more is given, more is required, right? I think we have an elevated obligation from the Lord to be a better church. My heart is to be a, properly speaking, a model church, not a special super church, but a common, right model church for other churches to follow. We should be. We should have that kind of a heart. Well, one of the main things, sisters, in that direction, is that the Lord would inculcate or imbue this shepherding heart collectively, individually and collectively, and atmosphere and culture. I use the word culture in the whole church. So yes, there's coordination, there's certain arrangement. Those are needed, but it's not pulling teeth. It's, we all want to do that. We're all ready to do that. In fact, we do it without being asked. That's life. That's life. In fact, we ask, what can I do? What can I help to do? We ourselves would shepherd, and there's a very dear sentence here that is a quote. And Brother Lee was talking about a young sister, not a young sister, just he was just, he said, for example, a young sister who consecrates herself to the Lord and deals with the Lord and begin to pick up this burden for people, to care for people, shepherd people. And Brother Lee made up a prayer for this sister. You know, this sister would pray this way. Oh my, that brought tears to my eyes. He said, this sister may say, he's talking about maybe even a high school sister, something like, Lord, I give myself to you for this. I will pick up someone to care for on your behalf, right? And I will pick up a sister, right? Younger than me, or more needy than me. And I will carry her, something like this. I will carry her, kind of like a sheep, right? You know what he said? This is in 1975, something like that. He said, this sister would say, I will carry her all the way to the New Jerusalem. This sister would tell the Lord that. I will carry her to the New Jerusalem. I mean, talk about a heart, talk about that motivation, talk about that burden. If we have that, I tell you, the church in Irvine is okay. The church in Irvine will grow. The church in Irvine will increase. The church in Irvine will be warm and sweet. And I tell you, who does not want to be in this kind of a church? I do. I do. Where you care for people and you yourself are cared for by others. So right. This is sounds so right. And this is actually the Lord's heart and God's heart. I like to see the church in Irvine become such a church. For that, the sisters are key. Okay? I don't want to just put the burden on you. The brothers need to shepherd, for sure. But sisters, starting with children, your children and others' children, and then junior higher, saints,
right,
believers, little Christians, okay? Little children of God, just like you. And then what? And then high schoolers. You just picture, huh? High schoolers. And then the college age. And then onwards. If you would all do that, this is all the way down to, you have to really pick up the burden. You have to deal with the Lord. You have to be interested in them. You have to reach out to them. You open your homes. You open your heart. You open your refrigerator. You even designate certain times in the week just to care for them. You say, I have kids already. You can always do one more. You can always carry one more sheep. He was telling, he's from the sheep country in New Zealand. He said, the lambs and the sheep, the difference is the teeth. In other words, the lambs have no teeth. The little babies have no teeth. So they need to drink milk. Doesn't that remind you of Peter? First Peter, as newborn babes, right? Desire the pure milk of the word. So you need to be a mother or a shepherd who could feed these young ones with milk, not premature, heavy duty, deep stuff, but just the right milk for them at their age and so on, right? Until sheep are the ones with teeth. I believe some shorter and some longer, right? Depending on their age. So you eventually become a skillful shepherd after lots of experiences, how to be with little ones, how to be with older ones, how to be with this kind of sheep and that kind of a sheep. Sometimes there's a naughty sheep in the flock. You just keep banging his head on the fence or something like that. Well, don't just write him off, right? Why is he banging his head on the fence? So, you get what I'm getting at. So today, I'm sorry I'm not covering a lot of, points, but I'm just sharing my heart with you. And I hope you sisters will start there. Remember, start with prayer and end with prayer. When the situation looks just bad, impossible, when the person will even reject your reaching out and care, you can still pray. Standing here, this guy here is the result of that kind of prayer. And I think most all of us are. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I just stop here. This is for you to take and to get into, and you can pursue them with one another. How about we just have a little prayer, just a minute with your neighbor, and we can go. Amen. Amen.